Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Beis Daf Gimel. We are holding on daf Beis Amid Beis at the very end of the page. Rav Yosef Omar, two lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and it's also sponsored for Refuah Shleima for Chana Bas Shena Mina. She should have a Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Cholei Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to do today is we're going to go through the last two reasons, the last two explanations of Beis meaning there was machlokas b'sham b'silel about a beitza shenol de b'yomtov. Yesterday we had two explanations of what they're arguing about, mukta and hachana, and now we're going to have two additional explanations of what they might be arguing about. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why each shita, in terms of how to explain the Mishnah, doesn't hold like the other shita. What's the problem with each of the shitos in terms of how to explain the Mishnah? Then the Gemara is going to say, you know, we know that Rabbi Yochanan must hold that the reason for the problem of a Beitza Shenolda is the reason of Mashkin Shazavu, that it's similar to liquid that seeps out of fruits, as we're going to see one of the explanations is going to be. How do I know that Rabbi Yochanan holds that way? Because he asks a stira between Beitza Shenolda on the one hand and Mashkin Shazavu on the other hand. So it must be that he holds that Mashkin Shazavu and Beitza Shenolda are the same thing. Well, once we mentioned that he asks a stira between Mashkin Shazavu and Beitza Shenolda, we're then going to have to discuss how he resolves that stira, or how we resolve that stira. So we're going to have three different ways of resolving that stira. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have three different possibilities why an egg would not be batel. Why, if you have an egg that's aser and it gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, why don't we say batel barov, batel b'shishim, 1,000 other eggs, and it's still not going to be batel? So we're going to have three different possibilities as to why that may be the case. Just one or two things I just want to catch up from yesterday. We didn't get a chance with these shorter shiurim. I don't time myself properly. Tosos in Dibra Maskel V'Haya on Beis Amud Beis, just an important point. Tosos quotes that there are midrashim that are cholik on each other whether the man fell on Yom Tov or Lechem Mishnah fell on Erev Yom Tov. So this is an important Tosos. It comes up a lot. Did the man fall on Yantif or did the man not fall on Yantif and Yad Lechem Mishnah on Erev Yom Tov? And Tosos brings a raya from our sugya that the man did not fall on Yantif. And that's why it says that's why from there we learn that the Su'uda needs hachana and that a Yom Chol is Mechon the Shabbos. So you see that when the Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, the man didn't fall on Yom Tov because they needed to prepare it in advance. So on the other hand, there's a Medrash that says on the Pasuk Vayivarech Vaykadesh Oso Berchu B'man V'Kitcho B'man, that it sounds like Shabbos became Kidsho B'man. That was something that Kodesh Baruch Hu did L'Kavod Shabbos. Sounds like only Shabbos. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mekadesh B'man that was Yored L'Kavod Shabbos. So in the Tshuvas Meshav Davar, he says that it's Tali in a Machlokas Rabba and Rav Chista whether we apply the principle of Hoil. That according to Rabba, that we say Hoil, the man did not fall on Yom Tov because they had to bake and cook on Shabbos and the Midbar, bacon cooked for Shabbos, and in the Midbar they didn't have any guests, and so you don't say Hoil because the whole concept of Hoil is Hoil umeklay archim chazilei. Since guests can show up and they might eat it today, they might need the food today, so I can cook on Yontif that falls out on Friday for the sake of Shabbos, because you never know, it might really be for the sake of Yom Tov. But if there's no chance of any guests showing up, then there's no principle of Hoil, so then it's going to be Aser to prepare. So then an Erev Tavshilin won't help. But according to Rav Chista, that Minat Torah, Tzorche Shabbos, could even be done on Yom Tov. You don't need Hoil. That Midah Raisa, Tzorche Shabbos could be done on Yom Tov. So the man fell on Yom Tov, and they cooked it on Yom Tov, Lutzorech Shabbos. So based on Tosos, the Poskim discuss, is there a Chiyuv of Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov? So the Maisa of the Poskim say that, in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that we take three matzos on the night of the Seder. Why do we have three matzos on the night of the Seder? Because you have to have Lechem Oni. Now, once you have lechem oni, so that means it's a prusa. That means one of the matzahs is going to be broken. So in order to also have lechem mishnah, so that's what most of the rishonim say, you have a third matzah, because apparently you do need lechem mishnah even on Yom Tov. The Shaila, the Nodbiyuda says, well, wait a second. if I need an extra portion on Yantiv, because there was a Lecha Mishnah that fell in Erev Yantiv, we assume that the man did not fall in Yantiv, and I need an extra portion on Shabbos, because Lecha Mishnah fell on Erev Shabbos, what happens when Yom Tov and Shabbos come one right after the other? You have Yom Tov that's Chal on Erev Shabbos, shouldn't I need three Chalas? Because Mistama they had an extra portion of man, if man wasn't going to fall on Yantiv, and wasn't going to fall on Shabbos, that's 2 days in a row where man wasn't going to fall, so Mistama a triple portion fell on the previous day. Yet that we never heard of. We say we only need Lecha Mishnah. The Nadvida wonders why that would be the case. So that's a kasha that the Nadvi Yehuda leaves off with. Okay, so let's begin now. We're holding again Daf Bezam Bez, the last two lines of the page. We're trying to explain the Mishnah. Why is it that there's a machlokas Beisham Beis Hillel about a Beitza Shnol de Biyom Tov, where Beishamai says you can eat it, but Beis Hillel says you cannot eat it? What is the problem with the Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov? So again, one possibility was Muktzah, the other possibility is Hachana, that we're Dafka talking about, where it's a Yom Tov and Shabbos, one right after the other, and therefore whatever Beitza was Nolad and Yom Tov was Huchan Me'er of Yom Tov, and if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, it means it was Hachana from Shabbos to Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu's preparations from Shabbos to Yom Tov, we're not allowed to benefit from in Yom Tov. Now a third explanation, Rav Yosef Amar, that we're talking about a tarnagolas that's omedes la'achila, and since the tarnagolas itself is really something that that you plan on eating, so the beitza should have really just been part of the food also. It was the whole chicken, the whole hen was food. So what would be the problem? Gzeira mishum peros hanoshrin. It's a gzeira midrabanan. Atu, fruits that fall off of a tree on Shabbos, that the Chum say you're not allowed to eat it, and a Beitza Shenolda is similar to fruits that fall off a tree on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to pick a fruit off a tree on Shabbos. Not only that, the Rabbanim made a gzera that if a fruit on its own fell off a tree, you're not allowed to eat that either. So since a Beitza Shenolda is like a fruit falling off of a tree, so we make a gzera, you're not allowed to have that either. So Amalei, Abaye, Peros Anoshen, Time Amai, why is it that Peros Anoshen are problematic to begin with? Gzeira shamiyala v'yitlosh. Why can't you have a fruit that falls off of a tree? It's only because of a gzeira that you might go climb up the tree and pull a fruit off of it. So he gufa gzeira. The whole principle of a peros hanoshrin itself is only a gzeira. V'ana nekum v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira. So we're going to go and we're going to make a gzeira on top of a gzeira. We don't make gzeira l'gzeira. So there's a question in Achronim. What does that mean? We don't make gzeira l'gzeira. Assume mishmeres l'mishmarti v'lo mishmarti. Mishmeres l'mishmeres, right? That we're supposed to make a mishmeres for the Torah, a siyag around the Torah, but not a mishmeres for the mishmeres, not a siyag around the siyag. But what does that mean? Does that mean that it's usur to make a gzera l'gzera? Or does that mean it's just something the Chum didn't do? Nafkamina would be if every once in a while they wanted to. Meaning, is it an ironclad rule? That meaning the whole idea that the Rabbanan are allowed to make any dinim is really a big chiddush, because there's an isur of baltosif in the Torah. You're not allowed to add to the Torah. Elamai, there's a heter, a susiyag l'Torah, that anything that's needed in order to protect the Torah, so the Rabbanan have a heter that they're allowed to make dinim d'Rabbanan. But is that heter just unlimited? They could make whatever kinds of dinim they want? Or maybe no, maybe it's limited in this sense that they're not permitted to make a gzera l'gzera. So if that's the case, that they're not permitted to make a gzera l'gzera, then it's really very limiting. Then they can never really make a gzera l'gzera. Or maybe they just chose not to. They thought that their energy would be better used in not making gzera l'gzera and instead focusing on the initial gzeros, in which case there might be an exception. But the Gemara says over here, isn't this a gzera l'gzera? The Gemara says, no, kula chad gzera hi. It's all one gzera. Now, what exactly does that mean, that kula chad gzera? What makes this all one gzera? It sounds like two gzeros. A gzera that any fruits that fall off of a tree, you're not allowed to have because you might come pick it off of a tree. And then a gzera of a beitza shenolda are two fruits that fall off of a tree. So what does that mean? Kula chada gzera. The Gemara says this in a number of places. But what exactly is that klal? So Rashi says that this gzera is not a gzera, that the gzera of beitza shenolda is not a gzera that you might come to peros hanoshrin. It's when they made the original gzera on peros hanoshrin, they incorporated in it a beitza shenolda. Shenolda, meaning they defined Beitza Shenolda as Peros HaNoshrin. That's the, in the Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev, in Simshin Gimel, he explains that what Rashi means is that if initially they would have only made the Gzer of Peros HaNoshrin, then there's no way they would have gotten back together again to regroup and again come up with a second Gezeira of Beitz HaShenolda. But at one time, the Rabbanan are allowed to incorporate in the original Gezeira whatever they want, as long as it's part of that initial meeting, as long as it's part of that initial Gezeira that they make together. Tosfos, however, writes, in Maseches Brachos, Tosfos writes, that we say Chad Gezeirahi in a case where, had they not made the second Gezeira, the first Gezeira never would have had the strength to stand. That in their estimation, they saw that the first Gezeira was, it could be a second meeting, but it was only because they saw that the first Gezeira was never going to make it. That the first Gezeira, because Gezeira is only a viable Gezeira if it's mekubal by Klal Yisrael. But if they see that Klal Yisrael is not going to be mekabalit because they're not going to be able to wrap their minds around the difference between Peros HaNoshrin and the Beitz HaShenolda, so then they're allowed to get back together and make the second Gezeira, and that's called Kula Chad Gezeira. The Meiri writes that it's Shaykh Se Chad Gezeira when the things are very similar to each other, that it looks like a Gezeira Achas. Meaning if you can make an argument that you're not allowed to put a chicken and cheese on the same table, even though eating chicken and cheese is itself only Midrabanan. Because Ha'ala'a ala Shulchan and Achila are close enough to each other that it looks like the same Gezeira. It's like, you can't have, chicken is also meat and milk, right? That looks like the same Gezeira, even though in reality it wasn't the same Gezeira. So the Miri has that really was a second Gezeira, and they're allowed to do it. They can make a second Gezeira, but they have to be able to sell it. It has to be able to look like it's one Gezeira. So those are the basic approaches in the Rishonim. Then the Gemara says a fourth possibility as to how to explain what the problem is with a Beitza Shenolda. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Gezeira Mishum Mashkin Shazavu, that a Beitza Shenolda is a Gezeira from Mashkin, that from liquid that seeps out of fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that just like you're not allowed to drink the liquids that seep out of fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so a Beitza Shenolda is like the liquid that seeps out of fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's the problem with liquid that seeps out of fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Amalei Abaye Mashkin Shazavu. Time am I. What's the whole issue with Mashkin Shazavu? Gzeira Shem Yischot. It's a gzeira of schitas peros, that you might come to squeeze those fruits in order to make juice from those fruits. So if juice automatically comes out of fruits, you're not allowed to drink that juice. So he gufa gzeira, but the Mashkin Shazavu itself is only a gzeira. So v'ana nekum v'nigzor gzeira l'gzeira. We're going to go and make a gzeira on top of the gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu, and answer the Gemara again, kula chada gzeirahi, that it's all considered one gzeira, it's not considered two separate gzeiros. Again, three shitos, Rashi, Tosos, Meiri, in terms of what that means, that kula chada gzeira. Now, it's interesting, Masechah Shabbos, Nafkuf Mem Gimel, Rabbi Yochanan says, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros, and we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda b'zeisim v'anav, meaning Rabbi Yochanan holds the halacha that peros that are omid la'achila and not la'mashkin, peros that are not really meant for juicing, they're meant to be eaten, we don't make a gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu on them. So if you have a bowl of watermelon, so watermelon is not meant for juicing, watermelon is meant for eating. And then at the end of the bowl, there's some watermelon juice that is gathered at the bottom of the bowl. So Rabbi Yochanan himself paskins, there's no gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu. Zeisim va'anavim, which are meant for juicing, those are the classic fruits that are meant for juicing. So then we have the Zavu Me'atzman, we're going to ask her Gzeira Shem Yischot. So Tosfos raises the question: how could Rabbi Yochanan make a Gzeira on a Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov Mishum Mashkin Shazavu? The peros themselves, other than Zeisim Vanavim, are not even usher Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. Even peros, as long as it's not Zeisim Vanavim, are not included in Mashkin Shazavu. Beitza Shenolda is yet another step removed. It's not even a pre to begin with. So Tosfos says that by Beitza, there's more reason to make a Gzeira because it's omed the sachet from the tarnagolas, and it's the derech for people to swallow it raw, and therefore it's more similar to zeisim va'anavim than an apple is similar to zeisim va'anavim, than an apple or an orange or a watermelon is to zeisim va'anavim. So that's what Tosfos says. But shar peros are not omid li sachet at all; they're only omid la'achila, and therefore they weren't gozer. The Rashba has a similar teretz over here in our sugya that the ikur chiluk between zeisim va'anavim and shar peros is zeisim va'anavim are omid l'schita; it's nichalei b'schitasam by beitza. It's also nicha with the leidas habeitza, with the laying of the egg, and everyone would rather have a beitza that's nola than a beitza that's still stuck b'mei atarnagolas. So therefore, it's like zeisim va'anavim, that's the whole purpose. The hen is supposed to lay eggs. You don't want eggs on the inside. You're not going to enjoy the eggs on the inside of the hen. Furthermore, the Rashi writes by peros, even if you're not sochet the mashkin, then your nana when they're still inside the pri, a beitza calls man that it's inside the pri. You're not going to be nana from it at all, and therefore, again, that's what the Rishonim suggests, that a beitza shenolda in a certain sense is more like zeisim va'anavim. As we learned in Smichas Chavah recently, that there really in halacha there are three categories. Right, there is a category of zeisim va'anavim where even mashkin shazov me'alehem is going to be. Then there's a category of things that are never ever juiced, right? Fruits that are never juiced, which the Shulchan Aruch assumes is rove peros are never ever juiced. And then there's the middle category of tutim v'rimonim, strawberries and pomegranates, which the Shulchan Aruch assumes those are sometimes juiced. Those are very often juiced, but they're also eaten normally. Nowadays, that middle category is much bigger, right? Tutim v'rimonim, I mean, those aren't even the most common things to juice, right? Almost every fruit is included. You go to these juice bars, and they're juicing everything. The only thing that's not juice, we came up with this week's cover, is like an onion, right? We can't think of anything else that people don't juice nowadays. To my knowledge, I don't think people juice onions. But other than that, you can't find kimat anything that people don't aren't sochet in some way or another. Okay, so that's the fourth interpretation. Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, Rabbi Yitzchak's interpretation, rather. So now the Gemara says, okay, why does each shita not hold like the other shita? We had four explanations of what the problem might be with the beitza shenolda. So kulu krav Nachman lo amri. No one wants to say like Rav Nachman that the issur is mishum muktza, that it's talking about a tarnagolas hamedus legadol beitzim, and this is an issur of muktza kikushyan, because we already pointed out that if the issue were mishum muktza, then it shouldn't only be about the beitza; it should be about the tarnagolas as well. Tarnagolas itself would be an issue of muktza if it was hamedus legadol beitzim, and then you decided to shecht it and use it as a food. That itself would have been something that was not designated for food in advance. So, and the Gemara never gave an answer to that one. So we sort of rejected the first approach yesterday. Karaba, and Rabu said that the issue is hachana, that we're talking about where Yontif is right after Shabbos, and whatever you're eating on the Beitza that was no love, and Yontif was really muchan on Shabbos. Nami lo amri, hachana laslu. They don't hold that there's such a concept of hachana, midoraisa, v'nisra of mukza, midoraisa, with something that was Huchan. And therefore, you don't need Zimun Mibold Yom for a Suda Shabbos in Yom Tov. Elo Rav Yosef, my time alone, Rabbi Yitzchak. But Rav Yosef, he says that the reason is Mishum Peros Anoshrim. Why doesn't he want to say like Rabbi Yitzchak that the Gzeira is a Gzeira Mishum Mashkin Shazavu? So Amalach, Beitza Uchla, Peros Uchla. Because a Beitza is a food. Peros are a food. So it makes sense that you're going to make a Gzeira Mishum Peros Anoshrim. That a Beitza comes out of chicken, it's like an apple coming off of a tree. Balafuke Mashkin, Delav Uchlahu. But it's not like squeezing a grape, the juice coming out of a grape, because a beitza is a food. It's not a drink. So when you squeeze a grape, you get juice. You don't get a food. So it's much more similar to peros anoshim. Rabbi Yitzchak, my time alo amar krav Yosef. So how's Rabbi Yitzchak going to explain himself? He says it's mishum mashkin shazavu. Why doesn't he say like Rav Yosef that it's mishum peros anoshim? So amalach beitza balua umashkin baluin. He'll tell you that a beitza is balua. It's fully absorbed inside the body of the tarnagolas. Mashkin is also fully absorbed inside the fruit. Meaning, look at it not as that which emerges, that which comes out, but look at it at, in its original state. What's the relationship between that which is going to come out and the thing it comes out from? So an apple on a tree, an apple's not coming out of a tree, it's on the tree, it's hanging from the tree. But just like juice comes out of the grape, the egg comes out from the hen. So it's much more comparable to Mashkin Shazavu than it is to Peros Hanoshim in his assessment. Now the Gemara is going to say, and we can bring a raya that Rabbi Yochanan also holds that it's on account of Mashkin Shazavu. So how do I know Rabbi Yochanan holds that way? Because we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan asks a stira in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and the stira is, on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says this about Mashkin Shazavu. On the other hand, he says this about a Beitza Shnolda, and he views that as a stira. That Mashkin Shazavu to Beitza Shnolda is somehow a stira. It must be that he's assuming that the assumption of his question that we're about to learn is that Beitza Shnolda is Asr on account of Mashkin Shazavu. So let's see what the actual stira is. There are, because Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan asks a stira between two Mishnayos where Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is recorded, Umishani, and he answers the stira, but from the actual Kasha, we can see that he holds up Beit Shnold as an issue of Mashkin Shazavu. Tanan, here's how he asks it. The Mishnah says, Mesach Shabbos, Ein Soch Nes Peros Olzimehen, Mashkin, you're not allowed to squeeze peros in order to draw out mashkin. It's a tolda of dash that you're drawing out something that's inside of something else. Vim yotzu me'atzman, and if the mashkin comes out on their own, asurin, then you're not allowed to enjoy that mashka on Shabbos because it's a gezeira that you might come to be sochet lechachila. You might come to squeeze out the mashkin on your own. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says the mashkin that comes out on their own is not going to be asur. No, imli ochlin, if the peros are meant to be eaten and not meant to be drunk, meaning they're not meant to be juiced, hayotzimen mutter, then whatever comes out of them is going to be mutter, because it's a, you weren't interested in having the mashkin come out of it. You were interested in eating the peros, so you don't have to make a gzeira. I might come to juice it. I wasn't planning on juicing it. I never would juice it. V'im l'mashkin, and if these peros were meant to be juiced, then hayotzimen aser. Then the mashkin shazavu from them are going to be aser, because it's reasonable to make a gzeira that if I'm allowed to drink the juice that emerges automatically from it, that I might come to juice it myself. I might come to be sochet lechadchila. So alma, so you see from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says im laochlan ayotzim en muter, that kol ochlan Rabbi Yehuda uchlador fasu, that anything that's meant laachila and not l'shtia is considered ochel that's separated from other ochel. It's not included in the gzeira of mashkin shazavu. So a beita shenol de biyomtov should not be included in mashkin shazavu. Yet, Uraminhu, I'll ask you, but yet, says Rabbi Yochanan, I'll ask you a stira. There's a Mishnah Maseches Erevin that says as follows, that Va'odam Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda who assumes that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are shtei kedushas, that they're not kedusha achas, that we view them, they're not one elongated kedusha, that we view them as two separate days of Yom Tov, that Masna Adam, a person can make a tenai to be mafresh trumas and maestros if he realizes, it's already Rosh Hashanah, and I forgot to be mafresh my trumas and maestros, and I would really like to be able to eat these peros on the second day of Yom Tov. So a person can make it tonight, al kalkola shel peros, on a basket of fruits, be Yom Tov Rishon, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and say, if today is not really Rosh Hashanah, it's a weekday, so then the truma that I'm being mafresh now should be truma. And if today is really Yom Tov, so then whatever I'm saying now should be meaningless, it's not truma at all. And then on day two of Rosh Hashanah, you can make the same tonight, that if today is really a weekday, and yesterday was Yom Tov, so then I'm being mafresh and truma right now. And if today is Yom Tov, I already covered it yesterday. I was already mafresh my truma yesterday. And then he could eat to his heart's content. V'ochla b'sheni, he could eat on the second day of Yom Tov, because either way, the afrasha is chal. V'chein beitza shenolda berishon teochla b'sheni. And also a beitza that's nolad on the first day of Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat on the second day of Yom Tov. Because if the first day of Yom Tov was a weekday, it turns out that it was nolad on a weekday, and therefore you could eat it on Yom Tov. And if the first day of Yom Tov was really a Yom Kodesh, so now today is already a weekday, and in Beitza Shnol to be Yom Tov, everyone holds you're allowed to eat it on a weekday when a Beitza is not allowed on Yom Tov. So B'sheni in Barishon Lo, so Rabbi Yochanan makes a diuk. Yeah, B'sheni on the second day, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to eat the Beitza because either way it's going to be mutter. But on the first day, he does not allow you to eat the Beitza because a Beitza apparently is included in the Gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu, and you're not allowed to have it on Yom Tov. So it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda that that on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda said anything that's not meant l'shtia is not included in the Gzeirah Mashna Shezavu. That's what he said in Maseches Shabbos. And yet in Maseches Erevin, he includes Beitza in Mashkin Shezavu. He says Beitza is Aser. What else could it be? It must be because of Mashkin Shezavu. So the fact that Rabbi Yochanan asks that as a stira, he's assuming that a Beitza Shenolda would only be on account of Mashkin Shezavu. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds it's on account of Mashkin Shezavu. Now, how does he answer the stira? He does not answer the stira by saying, no, Beis HaShnol does nothing about Mashkin Shezavu. It's really about, Gzeirah Shem Yitlosh or something like that. No, he doesn't say that. Umeshani Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefes HaShita. Rabbi Yochanan answers that you have to go back to that Mishnah Shabbos and switch around the Shita, switch around the Girsa. The Rabbanan must be the ones that are Matir, the Beis HaShnol, the Mashkin Shezavu, the juices that flow on their own out of the peros that are omid la'achila. But Rabbi Yehuda holds even peros and omid la'achila are going to be asr to drink the juices that fall from it. So Rabbi Yehuda's l'shitaso in Erevin, that Beit HaShenolda can be included in the gzera of Mashkin Shezavu. Umid kamir meluhadad yishma mina chataymahu. But the real raya over here is just the fact that he asked it as a stira. From the fact that he asked this as a stira, so then you see clearly that it's all based on the same principle. It's all based on the same concept. Ravina Amar, maybe there's another way to answer the stira without having to switch around the shitos. Meaning the raya is the raya, right? The whole reason we brought the stira is not because we were so interested in answering the stira. The reason we brought the stira is to show that the premise of the question means that Rabbi Yochanan holds that a beit is also on account of Mashkin Shezavu. But once we bring the stira, we got to answer it also. So Rabbi Yochanan gave his answer that you got to switch the shitos in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos. Ravina Amar, Ravina gives another answer to the stira. The Olam Lo Tepuch, don't switch around the shitos in Masechet Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says in Maseches Erevin that he's not going to allow a beitza that's nolad biyomtov, He wasn't saying his own personal opinion. He was arguing within the sheet of the Rabbanan. The Beitz is mutter even on Yom Tov Rishon, because it's just food that has been separated. It's not you can't make a gzeira of Mashkin Shezavu on a solid food. But according to you, that your gozer and Mashkin Shezavu, at least admit to me, Rabbi Yud is telling the Rabbanan that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it should be mutter because the Shtei Kedushos saying, because we view this 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as two Kedushos, Vamilei Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would respond back to Rabbi, lo, Kedusha Achasi, we view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as one Kedusha, doesn't even need to be mentioned that this is Daf Yomi coincidence, right, that we do view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as one Kedusha. They weren't Masaka in the Shnei Yomim because of a Safek. Rosh Hashanah is different. It wasn't on account of a Safek. Even when they were Mekadesh, the Chodesh, and Bezin, Al Pi Ariyah, if Bezin came to be made on the Molad from Minamincho Lemaila, they would make Shnei Yamim. They already knew that today was really Rosh Hashanah, then they would still observe the second day as Rosh Hashanah. So since it's not a Sveka Diyoma, it's viewed as a single Kedusha, as one extended Kedusha. It's interesting that the Gemara assumes that a Beitza is an Ochel. It wouldn't be that if you hold Mashkin Shezavu, you would never be Gozer Mashkin Shezavu on that which is meant as an Ochel, then you would not be Gozer on a beitza. So is a beitza a raw egg, an ochel, or is it a mashke? The nafkamina would be, do you say a bracha on it, and what shear you would have for a bracha? So Shlomo Kluger writes, so you don't make a bracha on a raw egg, because it's not considered an ochel at all, it's not even considered ra'oi la'achila. The Ar Sameach brings a raya from our Gemara, uchla d'orfasu, that it is considered an ochel. And he says you see from here, to be gomea, to swallow a beitza chaya, the shear for the Yisra in Yom Kippur is like a shear of an ochel and not like a shear of a shtia. I mean, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the shear of an ochel is kosev sagasa. That's how much you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. When it comes to drinking, it's a shear of a revius. So what about if you're eating a raw egg? So is it a shear of a kosev sagasa or is it a shear of a revius? So it should be a shear of a kosev sagasa. So then the rayas from our Gemara calls it ochel dorfas. The Marsham also writes that gomeya beitzachaya, even though it says in Yaradeya in Simon Kuf Yud Gimel that it's only eaten all day hadchak, nevertheless it's the people do have that sometimes, and therefore one should recite a bracha. It is considered an ochel in that regard. Okay, so now further in the Gemara, Ravina Breid Rav Ula Amar. Hacha v'tarnagolos hamedes gadol beitz mavidul tamei dilsei muktzah. Another yishuv, a third way to answer the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the first way of answering the stira was just flip the shitos in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Second way of answering the stira is no, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't saying his own shita. L'divreim d'rabbanon kamar. He was talking within the rabbanon. Third way to answer the stira is that hacha in the Mishnah in Erevin, where Rabbi Yehuda allows only on Yom Tov Sheni to have the beitza that was nolad b'rishon, but not on Yom Tov Rishon. That's b'tarnagolos hamedes gadol beitzim. That's a chicken that was designated for laying eggs. For Rabbi Yehuda tamei to say muktza, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that the beitza is going to be yasser on Yom Tov Rishon when it was laid because of muktza, not because of gzera mashkin shazavu. So it's not a stira at all with the Mishnah Shabbos. Got nothing to do with mashkin shazavu. So Meisvei, so the Gemara asks on Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, who said that a beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov is yasser on account of a gzera, either a gzera of Mashkan Shazavu or a gzera of Peros HaNosha, meaning the two opinions that we learned today, not the two opinions that we learned yesterday, right? That it's all on account of a gzera. Either if I have a Beit HaShenolda, it's going to be similar to a fruit that falls off of a tree, or it's similar to juice that comes out of a fruit. Echad Beit HaShenolda b'Shabbos, v'echad Beit HaShenolda b'Yom Tov, ein metal t'nosa, lo l'chasos b'asakli, you're not allowed to use a Beit that was nolad on Shabbos or Yom Tov to cover a kli with, v'lo l'smach b'kirem, nor to support the bedpost with the egg. You'd have to be very careful trying to do that anyway. But you can take a kli to cover the egg so that the egg doesn't break, because you're allowed to be metalta the kli, even litzorech dvar mukta, even litzorech something that itself, you're not allowed to be metaltel. And if you're not sure if the beit was nolad and yontif for on a weekday, asura, it's asur misafik. Vimnis arva be'elef, and if the beit that was nolad and yontif got mixed in with a thousand and other eggs that were no lot on a weekday, kulan asuros, all of those, there's no bittul, it's not part of the barov, not peshishim, they're all going to be asur. Bishlam el rabbi. So I understand very well, according to Rabbah, the isur of Beit Hashanol de Biyom Tov's Mishum HaChana is a dindo raisa that the Pasuk says, Biyom HaShishi V'Yichinu Eser Sher Yaviyu, that Yom Tov cannot be Mechel the Shabbos, and Shabbos cannot be Mechel the Yom Tov. So I understand that Shabbos after Yom Tov, and Yom Tov after Shabbos, the Beit is going to be asur mido raisa. So if it's asur mido raisa, and it gets mixed in with other eggs, and each egg, I don't know if it's the egg that was nolad on Shabbos Yom Tov, have you sefik d'oraisa, kol sefik d'oraisa l'chumra. I understand that it's a sefik d'oraisa, and you have to be machmir when you have a sefik d'oraisa. El Rav Yosef, the Rav Yitzchak, tamim shum gzeira. But according to the two shitas we learned today, that the whole problem with the Beit HaShenolda is it's a gzeira because it's like fruits that fall off of a tree. It's a gzeira, it's like juice that comes out of a fruit. That sefik d'rabbani. So if I'm not even sure if it's a Beit HaShenolda b'Yom Tov, the whole thing's a sefik. A sefik on a din d'rabbani. It's called sefik d'rabbani l'kula. The whole din of sefik the din is sefik d'rabbani l'kula. So why would the b'raisa asur it misafik? So says the Gemara, seifa asan l'sefik treifa. You know what? The seifa of the b'raisa where we're machmir in the sefik is not talking about a sefik Beit HaShenolda b'Yom Tov. It's a totally separate case. It's talking about a sefik treifa that have an animal, a hen that's a sefik treifa that lays an egg called yotzim in asur. So it's a suffix on a daraisa. It's a suffix whether that egg is asami daraisa. So says Mari Hachi, Ema Seifa, Nisarva Be'elof Kulan Asuros. Even if it's suffix trefa, then why does it say if it then gets mixed in with 1,000 others that they're all going to be asr? Iyam Rapishlama Suffix Yom Tov Suffix Chal. I understand very well if the case is that I don't know whether it was Nolad and Yom Tov on a weekday. So I understand why if it gets mixed in with 1,000 others, it's going to be asr. Because Davashesh Matirin, because Havi Davashesh Matirin, called because the halacha in bittul is that something can only become batel if you need the bittul in order to be matirit. But if there's another way to wait to be matir by just waiting, you wait long enough and it will become mutter anyway, then you won't need to rely on bittul. Then the halacha is that you're not allowed to rely on bittul. So when the issue is a mukta issue, you know, it's always a davar sheyesh matir. Just wait till Shabbos or Yom Tov is over, and it's not going to be mukta anymore, and you'll be able to benefit from it. So kol davar sheyesh matir. Afilu ba'elef is not going to be batel, as Rashi says that because the svara is. Why would you eat it relying on bittul? You could just wait till it becomes totally mutter. But if the issue is, if the case is about a suffix trefa, then it's not a davashayin lo matirin. It's davashayin matirin. Viti batal beruban. It should be batal berov. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, beitza is chashuv and does not become batal. Well, there's machlokas how to define a davar chashuv. It certainly has something to do with would you count them? Meaning, do you just say here's a bag of eggs, or would you count them? Say here's a dozen eggs, exactly by number. But there's a question whether it means that you count them. Does it have to be an item that's always counted, or an item that's sometimes counted? So if you assume that it's a davar, the beitz is a davar chashuv, we assume a beitz is only sometimes counted, that it's not always counted. So if that's the case, so then yes, a beitz would qualify. But if you hold it has to be something that's always counted, a beitz is not a davar chashuv. That if you have a chavili tilton of kilei kerem that are planted in the you have to burn them because kilei kerem is also bada nisarvu b'acherus, but if they get mixed in with others, v'acherus b'acherus, and those others get mixed in with others, so there's a bunch of isra and heter mixed together. Kula nidolku de Ramei. Ramei says you got to burn it all. V'chamrom yalu b'achus masayim. That is batal b'masayim. Shrei Ramei Omer. That Rameir holds anything that is sometimes sold, Biminyan, is going to asser everything. And the Chum say, no, there are only six things that are so chashuv that they're going to asser everything. Rabbi Kiva, Omer Shiva, Rabbi Kiva says there are seven things. What are these things? And Rabbi Kiva, Mosvav, Kikor, Shal, Balabais. Haroila, Arla, Arla, Haroila, Kilea, Kerem, Kilea, that these things are so chashuv that they're going to answer everything in whatever they are, whether it's arla or kilei kerem. Rabbi Yochanan says that something that's only exclusively sold by number, shaninu, that's where a mayor says that it's a davar chashuv and it's not going to be batal. Rabbi Shemalak Shomar kol shadar kolimno shaninu, that it has to be something that that people sometimes sell by number, but not exclusively. That's where a mayor says that it's not going to be batal, even though sometimes people sell it not by number. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.
Okay, good Shabbos.